Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
They're celebrating another 500 down in the toilet. It's terrible. I mean, there's nothing to say that's positive here. The Dow Jones dropped 520 points at 4.6%. The S&P dropped 51 points. NASDAQ down another 101 points. Gold up over $1,800 an ounce. Bank of America down over 10%. Goldman Sachs down 10%. Yeah, things are good, and that's why the president's celebrating iftar today. Took his shoes off and marking Ramadan with iftar dinner. I think he'll need more than a prayer to help him right now. This is nothing to celebrate. A weakened Obama is, it's good news for those of us who know what he is. On the other hand, remember, he's bringing America down with him. And now we read that the U.S. government is saying that the military killed the Taliban who downed the U.S. chopper. I don't believe it. Why should I believe that? Why should I believe that? Why should I believe they found the guy who shot down the chopper? I'd like to hear about the person in the Defense Department who put all of these SEALs on one old slow-flying helicopter and flew them into harm's way. I'd like to know who made that decision. I'd like to see him charged with a homicide charge. That's what I'd like to see, a court-martial for him instead of Lieutenant Behenna. How about that one? Instead of having Lieutenant Behenna locked up behind bars for killing an insurgent in combat, how about putting the general or the lieutenant general who made that decision and killed all of these brave men, put him into a court-martial and put him into a fort? But that's not how the world works. That's not how the world works at all. 1-800-449-8255. Then we have the situation in England, where, of course, there is no England anymore because of liberal dogma, which spawned a generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent vermin in the streets. Let me repeat it in case you missed it. Why do you think it's happening? You got police that were told to stand on the sidelines in England while the vermin are running around rioting and killing now. A generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent vermin in England, and police who were told to stand down and not even fire a rubber bullet or a water cannon. No, they saved the rubber bullets and the water cannon for the Irish, who the English consider four-fifths human. But they won't even control their own vermin. And now we see stories of people defending their businesses, three of whom were killed. What's interesting about the English situation, interesting from the point of view of analysis, not because of the deaths, is that the Muslim shopkeepers are defending their businesses. They're not amongst the rioters. There's a very small, infinitesimal group of Muslims in the riots in England. I don't think you know that. In fact, the Muslim shopkeepers are the ones who were defending their stores against the rioters. Do I have to spell out to you who's doing it? You need a picture? What do you need, a picture of who's doing it? It's the white communists stirring up the masses in England who are doing it. And interestingly enough, here's another side note that you won't read in your local newspaper. 1,000 members of the far right, 1,000 members of the hated soccer thugs far right groups, 1,000 members of the England far right political party went out and defended their own community from the vermin. That's right. They did what the cowardly police couldn't do in England. And I don't necessarily blame the police. I blame the government itself. The hollow men, the men with straw between their ears, along the lines of what we have here in America, along the lines of what we have in England, along the lines of what we have throughout the Western world, hollow men, empty men, straw men. They're the straw men for those making trillions off this debacle. There are big players who we never heard of who are making a fortune off this debacle. They're the ones who put this wonderful president we have into the White House in the opinion of many, many people who can analyze things for themselves. There's a lot to be talking about in the Savage Nation. You have people in England who know what's going on. You got to listen now to a black lady in England screaming at the mayor saying, why didn't you use the police to control our children? Listen to this woman heckling Mayor Johnson, Boris Johnson, about the lack of police activity on the streets of England. Listen.
Mr. Johnson, we want to see more police on the streets, and we want the law to be able to control the children. What about if I don't take care of my child and they can break the shops and the police are doing nothing? We want police to have more power. These children need a good whipping. A good whipping.
Well, I think I certainly think the times have changed.
No, times have not changed. Children are children. They have done it and they will do it again. Because they can.
I'm always too frightened to hit my own children because I leave my wife.
It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
You hear that? You hear the whim? I'm too frightened to hit my own children. What a perfectly idiotic statement it is to make. Here's a woman saying these children need a good whipping, and Johnson is saying the times have changed. A perfectly bad Cambridge accent. He needs to live in New York for a few years to learn how to speak English. He's afraid to hit his own children, and the woman says then they're going to do it again. They need a good beating. The common man, the common woman knows more about how to save a country than do these idiots who wound up at the top of the totem pole. Another story coming out of England. Police were ordered to stand and observe as London burned. London burned. London bridges falling down. And now David Cameron is saying that they're going to fight back using water cannon. They're going to get out the water guns, in other words. One of the great cities on earth being burnt to the ground, and he's going to get out the water guns. You hear? Then we had yesterday, which I have to replay for you, two London rioters speaking with the BBC. Listen to these two drunk sluts who I call chicken pluckers. Listen to them in clip 8.
Everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles.
Breaking into stuff.
It was good
breaking
though.
Madness.
Yeah, it was good though.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
Good fun. Yeah.
Good so then. You're drinking a bottle of rosé wine.
At 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, free alcohol.
Have you been drinking all night?
Yeah. Like, it's the government's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Conservatives.
Yeah, whatever who it is.
Conservatives.
Right, showing the police we can do what we want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Showing the
police. Conservatives.
And now we have.
So do you reckon it will go on tonight?
Yeah, hopefully. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But these, like, local people. I mean, why is it targeting local people and your own people?
It's the rich people. It's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because they're rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
So here you're listening to two welfare slime who belong cleaning gutters, toilets, plucking chickens. But they grew up on welfare, obviously. They came from a dysfunctional, you want to call it dysfunctional, I have another word for it, family, probably a hooker mother, a father they never met, never worked a day in their lives. So anyone who owns a store is a rich person. Exactly the same rhetoric as Obama. Class warfare has finally spawned the riots in England. Just as it may in this country, because we have a president who came to power on the rhetoric of class warfare, continues to try to throw matches on the flames of the class divisions in the United States of America. It's the same with Jerry Brown, the governor of California, was saying, well, I don't know what might happen. We got to get some more money going here in the kitty, or else, well, we don't know what might happen. I heard this same garbage going back to the 60s on the college campuses, where the radicals would go up to the university president when they wanted something, and they'd say, well, I'm not in favor of violence, but, you know, I don't know what the mobs are liable to do unless, now fill in the blanks. They're rioting because they're being told to riot, to attack the rich. And who was it who told you that the target of all of this would not be the rich? The target are never the rich. They can't be touched. It's the middle class. It's the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And now you have these street vermin in England saying, oh, well, they're the rich. That's why we're doing it. So you want to comment on any of this, you're welcome to do so by calling the Savage Nation, the collapse of the stock market, gold jumping, England burning, the lack of resolve. 1-800-449-8255. Portland, Oregon, Chris, you're the first up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, the last 5 years, you see in August, a large dip has happened in the stock market in the month of August. I think it's being played out by large players who take bad news, save the bad news for a certain season, bomb it on us, and, you know, give us the bad news all at once, and then destroy the stock market, wipe out the
stock. Well, you're just guessing who's doing it. I mean, why would they be doing it in August?
There used to be, there was a book Jerry Siegel wrote, Stocks for the Long Run, and he told about a September effect. And as you watch, September was a bad month, and now I believe it's moved towards
August. Look, we're just trying to come up with a rational explanation for what's happening when there may not be a rational explanation other than Obama is a terrible leader. He drove the stock market down by giving his speech about look, let's be very clear. The American people spoke. They said we want a balanced budget amendment. Is that correct or is it not correct?
It's very correct.
Did the people say stop spending? Is that correct or not correct, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury? That is correct. Did the people vote last year and throw out the Democrats? Correct or incorrect? That is correct. But what happened was Obama said, screw the people, up yours. Not only are we not going to balance the budget, not only are we going to not stop the spending, but we're going to spend more, drop dead. And in one day, he spent most of the money he increased the budget by. So what do you think the stock market's going to do? No, I blame the community organizer. I'll be right back.
Savage. All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
This continued violence is simply not acceptable, and it will be stopped.
Oh, yeah.
We will not put up with this in our country.
Oh,
we will not allow a culture of fear to exist on our streets.
No.
Let me be clear. At Cobra this morning, we agreed full contingency planning is going ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever resources the police need,
even water guns?
Whatever tactics the police feel they need.
You're going to give them water guns, David? No. Britain Bobby's reverting to water guns? Oh my goodness. What will happen next? Anyway, there it is. You know, there's nothing that a few Remingtons wouldn't solve. Few armed citizens, that's what the Second Amendment was for, David. I realize you folks don't have it over there, which is why you have lawlessness and youths, liberal dogma, really. They're not even people running wild in the streets. You have liberal dogma running wild in the streets. The running of the liberal dogmas. A generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent vermin. Liberal dogma is running. This is the product of 50 years of the Labor Party, socialism, and class warfare. We're not too far behind. There are many differences, by the way. But I spoke to a very wise woman, a businesswoman, about what's going on in England and around the world, and she said never before in her lifetime has she seen the following, which is that those at the very top, the speculators like Soros as the symbol of it, of the worst of it all, the hedge fund zillionaires, those at the top, and those at the bottom who are paying no taxes, let's say, and are on the welfare system, working the system at the same exact time. It's never been like this, where it's the super rich and the super poor at the same time, and the people being squeezed are the middle class. But what you don't understand, and here's the frightening part that I try to warn you about on this show, try to warn you about in Trickle Up Poverty, this may be intentional. This could be a worldwide communist conspiracy to eliminate or shrink the middle class, the so-called bourgeoisie, the dreaded bourgeoisie that both Barack and Michelle were trained to hate as children. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to understand it, but I lived through the 60s. I know how the revolutionary dogma went. I know how the brainwashing went. I know who was targeted, the bourgeoisie, which is the middle class. Never, ever confuse them with the rich. What you never understood about communism was that it rarely, if ever, targeted the very, very rich. It always targeted the vast middle class. How many years it's going to take me to get this? I've been on the radio for 17, 18 years, and I still can't get the message across. I write book after book. I do show after show, and you still don't get it. You still don't understand how communism works. You still think that it's the people on the bottom, the working class, working against the owners with red berets, triangle shirtwaist fire, ILGWU, all power to the people. You don't even understand it. You don't understand how communism works. You have to understand how the ex-Soviet Union worked to understand how it's happening here. They're trying to wipe out the middle class in this country. That's Obama's ultimate end game. You don't want to accept it. You don't want to believe it. You can't imagine it's happening here because you're saying it can happen here. But if you study the rhetoric in the church that Obama sat in for 20 years, old Reverend Wright, if you sat in there and listened to that rhetoric for 20 years, that's after being brainwashed in Honolulu by the communists who were his mentors. And if you look at David Axelrod's background, and you look at the background of the czars, Tsar Nikolai, I know the rest of this ditty, I can't sing it on the air because it's a Russian folk song that was created by the peasants of Russia who hated the Tsar. It's actually a dirty song. I learned it as a young boy. I thought it was very funny. It begins, I'm not going to sing it, but it begins with Tsar Nikolai. I can't finish the rest of it, but the Russians listening are laughing. They're probably singing it to themselves in their houses. Very funny. But Tsar Nikolai, as you well know, was the Tsar of Russia. And right now, of course, we don't have a Tsar. What we have is a president who acts like a Tsar. Tsarina, Tsar and Tsarina, Obama. Oh, vacations to Africa, Portugal, Spain, 50 personal assistants, and then tells you to come home to grow broccoli on your front lawn while scoffing the fattiest foods on earth. I mean, no, the king has no clothes, doesn't even begin to touch these two. It's astounding. It's hands off on anything they do. Tsar Nikolai, I won't sing the rest of the song. This is a time to be giddy. It's a time to be giddy because you see what's going on. If you think it can't happen here, you're mistaken. It is happening here. The middle class is being squeezed by the rich, 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 and by the poor, poor, poor. And the people in the middle are being told to, oh, chip in a little bit more. Just chip in a little bit more, says Obama and Jerry Brown. Just pay your fair share. Pay your fair share. 39% federal, 10 or 11% state tax in the state of California, then local taxes, this tax, that tax, my tax, your tax, his tax, everyone tax. Taxation without representation led to the American Revolution I. Taxation without representation led to the American Revolution I.
Savage.
This continued violence is simply not acceptable, and it will be stopped.
Everyone was just going to riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles,
breaking into stuff.
It was good though. It was madness. Yeah, it was good though.
Mr. Johnson, we want to see more police on the street, and we want the law to be able to control the children. These children need a good whipping.
I'm always too frightened to hit my own children.
Yeah, there it is. From the charge of the Light Brigade to the charge of the Fright Brigade, all in one generation, powder puff men. Powder puff men and communists make for a toxic mixture. They picked on Michael Savage. They banned him from entering England. Can you imagine? And take a look at what they have there in that country now. I mean, think about this. I want you to think of the irony of this. These very scum who will not permit me to enter their fabulous, fine, wonderful country, which is considered to be a privilege to enter that country. Remember, they said it was a privilege. They picked on Michael Savage because he was a conservative, white, middle-aged, conservative talk show host in America who they thought couldn't fight back. So they put me on a list with murderers and terrorists. And to this day, I've been fighting for 2.5 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees against this impossible group of pansies who won't budge. The very same Cameron who a year before he became prime minister said to my lawyers in England, oh, yes, we're against that list. And when we take office, we'll take him off the list. Liar, 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 pants on fire. It sickens me to think about this. And I'm not trying to make this personal. I just want to thank all of you who've supported me all of these years by sending money to the Savage Legal Fund, by the way. But take a look at what's going on in England. You say, well, what does it have to do with you, Savage? Everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. The very same weakling, coward, vermin, socialist, communist phonies who chose to put me on a list with murderers who killed Jewish children, Hamas guys who bashed in Jewish children's head with guns, skinheads who beat up and killed immigrants who were in jail in Russia for 10 years are not allowed into England. And me, a talk show host? Never once has Fox News had me on to talk about it, to show you how sold out the Murdoch Quislings are. Okay, so what does it have to do with me? You could put two and two together. You can put two and two together. The real threats to England, they put up with because they're afraid of them. The real threats they can put up with, they're afraid of them. Me, they're not afraid of. What are they going to be afraid of? You know, liberalism is a mental disorder, but it's a cowardly mental disorder. Never forget that. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with me. I understand that. Nothing at all. I'm not going to try and make myself bigger than the story. It's a horrible thing to see. I happen to love England. I like the English people. But look at what's going on because of the weakness of the leadership. Actually, there's no leadership. What leadership? What leadership? They told the police to stand down, to do nothing. The people are screaming and begging the cops to pick up sticks and beat the hell out of these rioters. Bash their heads in. Beat them up with a stick. Do something. Cops were told stand down and do nothing. Is it any different here in San Francisco? We got very brave cops. We got loads of brave cops mixed in with the dwarfs and the mutants that they put into the police force. Oh, we have a real old line, old guard here. But they put in the dwarfs and the mutants in order to make sure it was diverse. They made the police force so diverse that they go the other way. You got lawlessness in the streets here. Gunfights, gunfire. Wherever you turn in America, you think we're far away from it? You got cops who are able to take care of business. They'd love to take care of business. But if they lift a finger, well, do I have to fill in the blank? Your brother-in-law from Brooklyn Law comes out if they lift a finger. Your rotten, stinking husband with a law degree from NYU comes out and sues them for police brutality. Or the vermin on MSNBC start to scream about police brutality. I mean, that's what goes on. So we're not too far from it. We have the police who could take care of business here, but they're told not to. So, in other words, we get stabbed in the heart like England. Let's take your calls right now. Florida Bill, you're on the show. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, I do get it, and here's what I want to do about it. I just don't know exactly how to go about it yet. But I'm at the very early stages. Again, I understand what's happening. First, we have to identify the enemy, and we're being told who the enemy is, like these communists and even our own president, our own administration here in America. It's not the small business owner. It's not even the medium-sized business owner, and it's not even a lot of the large businesses. As you know, international bankers, international, multinational companies, not all of them, but the ones that are the enemy, we need to identify them.
Well, I think that the word you're searching for is the speculator, because the speculator produces nothing. Now, that could be too broad a term, because anyone who invests in a stock is a speculator. But we're not talking about the small speculator then. We are talking about the hedge fund operators who engineered their ability to completely rob the Western world blind. And it started under Bill Clinton, who eliminated a rule, again, I have to repeat myself every day on the show, that was put in place in 1938 to stop another depression from happening. It was called the uptick rule. Also, another rule was put in that was called the Glass-Steagall Act, which Clinton eliminated. Excuse me, the uptick rule was eliminated under Bush. So two administrations in a row were bought out by the speculators, the super powerful Managed Funds Association, which I spelled out in Trickle Up Poverty. There are names. We know who they are. There's a group called the Managed Funds Association, MFA. They're hedge fund operators, and they lobby Congress. They lobby the president. They have homes exactly where the president is going on vacation next week. Martha's Vineyard. Take a look at the tail numbers of the jets that land there, which you can look up, by the way, on many sites, and you'll find out where the tail numbers go. Okay, this is no mystery.
Banks. What about those banking families?
Well, I can't get any more specific than I already have, because I pretty much spelled out who I believe is behind this. You understand that there are people who are trading without any controls whatsoever. Did you know if you trade in currency on the COMEX exchange, you can leverage 750-1? You know that, in other words, with almost nothing down, you can play with the monetary supply.
I know it's a lot. I didn't know it was 750-1.
All right. Now, I tried to tell us the other day on the Savage Nation, When I was a kid in high school, we learned in Jamaica High School, the way they put in rules after the Depression to stop another Depression was stopping wild speculation. They made you put down a certain amount of money so that you couldn't speculate and drive the market up or down in any great direction. Same with a house. You couldn't buy a house with any less than 20% down. So that would prevent people from speculating on houses. Didn't it make sense? Yes, it was stable till 1971. And then all hell broke loose when the vermin at the top started to buy our politicians and eliminate these controls. In plain English, we need the controls back. That's all. We need the controls back. We need the Glass-Steagall Act and the uptick rule. And you can study them by reading one chapter in Trickle-Up Poverty called "The Wall." Nightmare on Wall Street. The best chapter ever written on the history of the financial problem. Nobody did it better. Play some of that English music. I kind of like it. I'm going to go get the charge of the Light Brigade. If it's Wednesday, it must be San Francisco. Oh, it's Wednesday. I do Economy and Money. What's that one you were saying that they're playing before that you were? There's no faster one. Very cheerful. Beautiful country run into the ground by liberalism, the mental disorder. New York, Lyndon, welcome from WOR. What's on your mind today, Lyndon?
Well, the idiots that run the government in Great Britain, they don't want to hear the truth. That's why they banned you from going there. If your message...
Well, we actually, through the Freedom of Information Act, I don't want to belabor the issue, but people think I'm they took me off the list. No, they kept me on the list. Cameron lied. The original paperwork that we discovered said that Gordon Brown himself, the PM, was behind it, and he wanted to, quote, balance the list. He didn't want all Muslims on the list, so he put me on it. You understand what he was doing?
I sure do.
All right, so anyway, let's go beyond it. I don't need to go to England. I'll go to Sardinia instead for vacation.
But there was one other example I'd like to cite.
We do know that Canada is about as bad as England. But thank you for calling about this unknown individual that you mentioned that nobody ever heard of. 1-800-449-8-BEWOLF. I assume you caught that in time. Yeah, Gravel Gertie has never mentioned. Gravel Gertie, the fake conservative Jew hater. The Jew baiter, Gravel Gertie. Santa Maria. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. How are you?
Good, great, wonderful, terrific. How are you? What's up?
Good. Well, there were so many points that you made, but I tell you what, as far as the middle class being wiped out, it's amazing. And the biggest thing that people really don't realize is with this big, you know, the tip of the iceberg of the baby boomers coming through right now in retirement, is you're going to have the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of the world.
Please explain. I know what you're saying, but for the listener, transfer of wealth from where to who? From which class to which class?
Well, you're going to have the middle class, the people that worked post-World War II that have just put their nose to the grindstone and worked and saved and earned. And it's and these big people that you have named in trickle-up poverty, you know, these big bankers and people that control, they have a plan in place that, you know, with the stock market crashing, with all these things, they will manipulate things to be able to suck those people's savings down.
And that's right. Well, they've already done a pretty good job. And where do you think it didn't go in the air? Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Obama engineered almost $1 trillion in TARP money. Where do you think that money went? It didn't go to the middle class. It came from the middle class, and it went to the bankers who did this to us.
100% agree. It is.
They took almost $1 trillion out of the middle class 401ks, and they gave it to the bankers who collapsed Wall Street. I stand by those words because I have evidence that supports my thesis. Has there been an investigation? Tepidly, yes. A tepid investigation. 1-800-449-8255. The news is terrible. The world is melting down, and Obama's planning his vacation to Martha's Vineyard. Tail number of Air Force One will be only one of them. I don't think it can land in Martha's Vineyard. I think he has to use a small marine one from Boston's Logan or somewhere nearby in order to get into the homes of those who are going to tell him what they're going to do next. You know, after all, I mean, Martha's Vineyard is where the elite meet to greet, or whatever they do. But at the end of the day, they're only people like you and I. The difference is they have no loyalty to the United States of America. See, that's the funny part. You would think that a person of that magnitude has a child, a grandchild, and they look ahead and they want a country that's... You don't understand how they think. I understand how they think. They're men without a country. They're transnationals. They have no loyalty to our borders, language, and culture. They spit on you, the patriot. They laugh at you who worship the flag and love America and respect the Constitution. They mock those of you who join the military. They laugh at you. They think you're idiots for dying for your country or sending your son to fight for the country. You have no idea how low they are. You have no idea, but I do. I'm a man who knows a lot of things. I've been around a long time. I've walked amongst various levels of society, from the very high to the very low. I have sat with kings. I have sat with paupers. I have talked with kings. I have talked with the homeless. I do have a great experience of life. I myself am a father. That unto itself means very little, but I'm a kind of father who stuck it out with the kids. Both of them turned out great, not because of me, but because of them. But we had to fight every day of our lives against the school systems that they were in, even 30 years ago. You think it was different 30 years ago? If I were to tell you the stories, which I will do one day, your hair would stand up. But it took two parents going to bat every day or every other day or whenever occurred when the liberal psychosis was they attempted to put the liberal psychosis onto the children. We had to fight it every step of the way. So don't think I didn't see it coming. Anyway, here we are. What do we do about it? Take a look at England. There's a fabulous article that we've been quoting here. I've been quoting. I hate people say we when they mean me or I. That's an old trick of the people who are from the English school of things, and they say we, the royal we. But I'm going to my website because we linked the article up. It's really so well written. The headline says, "Years of liberal dogma have spawned a generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent youngsters." I could add a little to that myself. I can add a little bit. Years of liberal dogma have spawned a generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent, brutalized youngsters. But that's in the Mail Online by Max Hastings. I wouldn't call them brutalized youngsters. I have no sympathy for them. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I have no sympathy. They're not brutalized youngsters. I have another word for them. And there's nothing that a good smack across the head with a baton wouldn't cure. Let me tell you that. And for those who get violent, that's what guns were invented for. I mean, make no mistake about it. The gun and the bullet was invented to protect property and person from this exact kind of thing. What are we dancing around the truth for here? What the hell was a gun invented for? To go to a shooting range? The gun was invented to protect person and property from vermin like this. I'll stop right here. I'll be back. So the streets are aflame in England. Obama can't learn from his mistakes and adapt. China is gloating about America's economic woes. The world is on fire because of the incompetent people around Obama, from the Arab Crescent to the streets of England to the streets of Wall. I want to go back to this article by Max Hastings about the wild beasts in the streets of England. They are illiterate and innumerate. Except with some dexterity with computer games and Blackberries. Pay attention, CNN. I said Blackberry. They are essentially wild beasts. And he says they have no discipline. They respond only to instinctive animal impulses. To eat and drink, have sex, seize or destroy the accessible property of others. Sounds like Hollywood to me. Only instinctive animal impulses. To eat and drink, have sex, seize or destroy the accessible property of others. Sounds like the type of girls that they're glorifying in the movies today. Their behavior on the streets resembled that of the polar bear which attacked a Norwegian tourist camp last week. They were doing what came naturally, and unlike the bear, no one even shot them for it. A former London police chief spoke a few years ago about the feral children, another way of describing the same reality, feral children. The depressing truth is at the bottom of our society, he writes, is a layer of young people with no skills, education, values, or aspirations. They do not have what most of us would call lives. They simply exist. Nobody has ever dared suggest to them that they need feel any allegiance to anything, least of all Britain or the community. They do not watch royal weddings or notice test matches or take pride in being Londoners or Scousers or Brummies. The only thing they know nothing of Britain's past, they care nothing for its present. They have their being only in video games and street fights, casual drug use and crime, sometimes petty, sometimes serious. The notions of doing a 9-to-5 job, marrying and sticking with a wife and kids, taking up something or learning to read properly are beyond their imagination. Sounds like America. Is it any different here with the underclass? Huh? Now, that's why I say borders, language, and culture. Why are we not teaching our children pride in America instead of hating America? You take a look at what the NEA professes to be education in this country. Do they take our children to museums and teach them about the glories of Western civilization? No, my friends, they do not. They teach them about the weaknesses and the excesses of Western civilization. Every other speech is about the oppression of minorities, the oppression of women, the exploitation of the third world, whatever. No, they don't teach them to have pride in this country. And so this is what happens in England, and it's not too far from what's going to happen here. We have millions of the same feral running around in this country. The only difference is they're armed here. That's right, you heard me. We have millions of armed feral beasts in America. And the only thing that prevents them from going wild in the streets is the thin blue line. The very thin blue line that the vermin from NYU, Columbia, and Harvard Law fight every day of their lives in the ACLU. There are solutions. There are many solutions. And it has to start at the very top with leadership, with the bully pulpit. And right now we don't have anything but a bully in the pulpit. We have a bully in the pulpit, but nothing else. We have no leadership, no inspiration, no perspiration, just a bully in the pulpit.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This continued violence is simply not acceptable, and it will be stopped.
Hear, hear! Hear, hear!
Riot, just going mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles,
breaking into stuff.
It was good though. It was madness. Yeah, it was good though.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson, we want to see more police on the streets, and we want the law to be able to control the children. These children need a good whipping.
You know, I'm always too frightened to hit my own children.
Well, there has always been an underclass. Let's make no mistake about it. Underclass has existed throughout history of England, for example. And they endured phenomenal privation, by the way. You know, just read your Dickens and you'll see the kind of privation that the underclass put up with. However, the ruling classes kept them at bay through force and legal sanctions. And the most severe amongst those legal sanctions were capital punishment and transporting them to the colonies, which, of course, is how Australia was founded. I know people don't want to hear that, but Australia was originally a penal colony, where some of the worst of England was sent. And look how well Australia's doing, because hybrid vigor, of course, results from that kind of human being. But today, those at the bottom of society are really no different than the underclass of the past. The difference is the welfare state. The welfare state has relieved the vermin from any kind of hunger, any real want. So they're free to fornicate like rats. They're free to get drunk, burn. And, of course, then you have the weaklings at the top with straw between their ears. Straw between their ears. And then you have the communists, such as Ken Livingstone, the most contemptible man who has ever resided in England, saying that the riots are a result of the government spending cuts. That's right. Exactly the same rhetoric as that of Obama or any of the other libs. Fill in the blank. I mean, it's no different here. We'll go back in 1981, there was a council member in England, Ted Knight, who said that the Brixton riots were a result of the police in his borough, who were nothing but an army of occupation. So the rioters simply needed a good smack about the head. If need be, guns would have worked very well. Never mind. At a certain point, I said in the last hour, and I'll say it again, and I stick by those words. You have feral animals running around with hoodies on in England who have nothing to lose. They've never been trained, educated to love England. They don't even know what England is. They've been trained only to fornicate, get drunk, use drugs, and maybe use a BlackBerry so that they can communicate with each other as to how to get drunk, how best to get sex, and how best to rob people. That's what the BlackBerries are used for by these animals. And the fact is, the only thing that would keep them at bay would be fear. The only thing that has ever kept delinquents in line is fear. Fear and more fear. Feral children bully their fellow students. They abuse people on buses. They urinate outside pubs. They throw garbage out of car windows. They go by with the car radios at deafening volumes. Is it any different here? You had a race riot in Wisconsin a few weeks ago where black mobs went wild beating up whites. And today the police said there would be no hate crime charges. Again, nothing. No civilization left. Whoever breaches the civilization, whether it's in England or here, is met with there's nothing. Anyone who reproaches a child for throwing garbage out of a window, for driving by with a boombox on, what happens? Tell me what happens. They're attacked with obscenities by those offending the population, if not beaten up. So who is to blame? Who is to blame? Obviously, there's a lot of blame to go around. I think that it's simply law and order. Simply law and order is what's required to set the ship aright again. I can go down the line, the litany of media, the games, the schools. We can go down the list. The liberal education system here and there, the social services, the ingenious psychotic lawyers who put the rights of the criminal and the aggressor over those of law-abiding citizens and the police. A young offender. Because he's 15, he's not capable of picking up a gun and shooting somebody. So the police naturally turn the other way. Why do the police turn the other way? Or even they take the side of the violent offender against people that they've hit and beaten up. The law is there to protect the rights of the perpetrator and does not support the victim. That's the same here. The very same sickness exists today at Harvard Law, Columbia Law, Yale Law, NYU Law, Stanford Law. It's filled with stupid children who think that because they're studying to be a lawyer that they're above the law themselves. And they seem to think that any criminal is a criminal simply because society made them a criminal. And so if a person wants to protect themselves from these vermin, a burglar or an intruder, the vermin in the legal profession go out and they tell the criminal, don't worry, we'll make sure that you get yours. We've seen it all over the place. A few years ago, there was one of the worst outrages when the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the most criminal organizations in American history, in my opinion, Southern Poverty Law Center, defended a criminal illegal alien from Mexico who had committed some vile act against a rancher in Texas. And the rancher defended himself in Texas, and the vermin in the Southern Poverty Law Center sued the rancher and took his ranch away from him and gave it to the illegal alien. If this was only one case, it would be one case, but it isn't. It's typical of what psychotic, drug-addicted, Oh, don't get me started. Please don't let me go down the list of what I think of this kind of lawyers who manipulate and twist the law for the sake of the criminal. Don't let me go down that road. All I can say is they want to take away free speech rights from people like myself and talk radio, and they want to take away your right to defend property and person in the form of the Second Amendment. Make no mistake about it. That's the only thing that keeps the mobs from running through your neighborhood from behind a fence. That's the only thing that keeps them at bay. The only thing that keeps them at bay. The mobs themselves in America are actually potentially more violent than the mobs in England, because the mobs here are all armed. You can buy a gun for $10 in the streets of most cities in America. They're all armed, and we all know that. They're armed and they're dangerous. Oh, I believe in disarmament of them. I would like to see the police go into every home in these neighborhoods and take the guns away from the criminals. Yeah, I'd be 100% for that one. Now, don't tell me they have to then come into the suburbs and take away your gun. I don't want to hear that garbage. That's what some psychotic, bubbly, drug-taking lawyer from NYU would say. All the types that scream about the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. The Constitution wasn't written for these drug-addicted lawyers from NYU. I can name a few of them if you'd like me to. I give you a few of their names. They hold themselves up on a platform that they're for the First Amendment. But if you ask them to defend you, they'll tell you to put down the $400,000 first. These are the types that defended the Nazis when they marched through Skokie, Illinois. Go look it up on Google. Wonderful, sterling men in their own mind. The lowest of the low, the scum of the earth. Nazis wanted to march through a Jewish neighborhood, and they took the side of the Nazis, even though he was Jewish himself. Why did he do that? Why would a lawyer do that? A, to make a name for himself, and B, to just show you how he can break the law and use it to his own end. It just shows you the sickness of some people. And most of these people are on medication, by the way. That's right. Most of them are on antipsychotic medication because they know that they're hateful, despicable human beings that nobody on earth should even talk to. They're lower than a doormat as a human being, but it doesn't stop them from plying their sick trade. Now, jumping a little bit, President Obama, certainly not in that category. He's a sterling constitutional attorney of the highest level, as you well know. Top of the heap. Sterling man, top of the heap. He is going to go to a wonderful human being's house, I believe this week, at Harvey Weinstein's West Village penthouse. That's right. He inherited a $10.6 trillion debt, the community organizer did. And he has since turned it into a $14.5 trillion debt in only 3 years, and he's blaming the middle class, saying you need to chip in a little more. And later this week, the community organizer goes to a $71,600 per couple fundraiser at Harvey Weinstein's West Village penthouse. As you know, Harvey Weinstein is a man who's produced movies filled with some of the worst violence the world has ever seen. When I refer to the sewer pipe coming out of Hollywood, the sewer meister, in my mind, would be Harvey Weinstein. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if you say that there's a sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood that portrays violence and generates pornographic imagery, I would say the chief sewer meister amongst them would be a man like Harvey Weinstein. That's only one man's opinion, you have to understand. And he's a good liberal. Now, how do you figure that out? Why would a man who purveys violence and filthy imagery like Harvey Weinstein have Obama to his house? Why? Why would a liberal have Obama to his house? It's good for business. You don't want the movie pictures to be controlled by the government. You don't want to go back to the draconian days of J. Edgar Hoover where there was censorship. No, you want to be able to continue to pump the sewage into everyone's mind. And then when the world explodes, say you had nothing to do with it. He. Someone passed the Prozac. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So it's interesting to me that the riots in England, which are really a world story, a huge story, are not being shown in papers like the LA Times. They're burying it. It's very interesting why they would. I don't know why the LA Times would hide that. But here in America, we have many London events. In Philadelphia, groups of teens, they're calling them teens. I love it. In Somalia, these teens are carrying AK-47s and killing people. But here they're sort of a sacred cow, teens. Group of teens randomly attack man on a bicycle, hitting him with a punched him in the face with a brass knuckle as he was driving by in a park in Philadelphia. Now, this is going on in Center City. Violent mobs of teenagers in Philadelphia are beating people up. It's a racial thing. I can't tell you what the race is and what race is getting beaten up because that would be illegal. You understand that? I don't want to be investigated. But let's put it to you this way. You can pretty much figure it out. But in Philadelphia, what you have is an African-American mayor who's speaking out, Mike Nutter, to black teenagers after these flash mobs broke out. Listen to clip 12.
And why don't you work on extending your English vocabulary? Extend your English vocabulary beyond a few curse words that you know, some other grunts and grumbles and other things that none of us can understand what you're saying.
Well, he should direct that to MSNBC, who just hired Al Sharpton, who has a vocabulary and a grammar structure equal to the people he is referring to. If you're not going to believe this, listen to clip 15. I'm not making this up.
Tonight is the measure of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. But resist we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
Thank you very much. See, this is where GE is doing something for America. In addition to not paying any taxes on the U.S. earnings, they're hiring men like this to be a talk show host. But Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter is not fool. Listen to what he says to the black teens who are rioting in Philadelphia in the next clip 13.
And if you go to look for a job, don't go blame it on the white folks or anybody else. If you walk in somebody's office with your hair uncombed and a pick in the back and your shoes untied and your pants half down, tattoos up and down your arm, on your face, on your neck, and you wonder why somebody won't hire you, they don't hire you because you look like you're crazy.
Yeah, well, he won't be hired by a local television channel because he's frightening. I mean, that's a frightening man. And I got to tell you something for those of you who are worried about your hearing, because as you age, you focus more on the legacy that you're going to leave your children and grandchildren. And one of my wonderful sponsors has something to tell you, Envoy Medical. They're sharing you because they know that sharing your wisdom and experience with your kids and your grandkids is one of life's most important callings. And if you suffer from hearing loss, this gift of communication could be lost. And leaving that legacy requires effective two-way communication. There's a medical breakthrough for those with hearing loss, and it's called the Esteem Hearing Implant. This is a revolutionary solution which is 100% invisible so that you can keep up your active lifestyle. The Esteem Hearing Implant delivers a natural improvement to your hearing with a natural clarity of sound. Learn about this new breakthrough and give your children a legacy they will cherish for a lifetime. Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. It's that simple. envoymedical.com. That's 800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. Do it today. Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. For a list of side effects and benefits associated with Esteem, visit envoymedical.com. And, of course, the news continues. The news continues around in the world and around in America. Let's go quickly to a caller in Wisconsin. Craig, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, the bombing of those who shot down our Chinook, it's obviously propaganda. I don't believe it. You don't believe it. However, previously, when the Taliban claimed said that they had somebody on the inside who passed on information leading to the shoot down of our Chinook, that's obviously propaganda, but you believe that. How come you believe their propaganda over ours?
Well, it's a good question. You've got me in a logical trap. So let's start with the facts. There are about 30 men who are dead, correct?
Sure. Regrettably.
Okay. And they were all put on a slow, antiquated helicopter and flew them into a hot LZ. Who did that? Who made that decision?
That I wouldn't know, sir. It was either made by the top, it could have been made by a commander on the ground, it could have been somebody in between. We don't know.
Right. It could have been someone on the ground, someone in the command structure, even the president himself, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So who should I believe when it comes to hearing that they got the guy who did it? I don't believe them.
Savage.
yourself, you damage another person, you damage your peers, and quite honestly, you damage your own race. You damage your own race. So to our young people, if you want black folks, if you want white folks, Latinos, Asians, or anybody else to respect you and not be afraid when they see you walking down the street, then leave the innocent people who are walking down the street minding their own damn business, leave them alone. Stop it. Cut it out. We've had enough of this nonsense going on. We've had enough.
Now, that's a man who's a leader. That's Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter. That's what you'd expect from the President of the United States. But instead, he's going to Harvey Weinstein's pad in the Village to enjoy the bongo drums and the Chablis. $70,000 a couple. You hear in the middle of what's going on in the world. Is there shame? Of course there's no shame. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Questions arise over whether flash mob attacks in U.S. cities are motivated by race. You see, it's going on here as well, but it's been swept under the rug by your newspaper. Police departments in several cities around the country are investigating what appears to be incidents of flash mob-generated violence in which packs or dozens of hundreds of youths coming out of nowhere to commit assaults, robberies, or other crimes against innocent bystanders. I'm reading now from an article in Fox News. It's a very good article. They're looking into a possible racial component. You hear the Sherlocks and the police departments are looking into a racial motive. It's mobs of black youth beating up whites and Hispanics, but they're not sure if there's a racial component because no one has reported that there was an epithet stated. You hear? This is what's going on there. They're going to investigate it now. Nothing from the attorney general on this. Nutter, the city's third black mayor, spoke after a mob attack July 29th in downtown Philly, during which 20 to 30 black youths allegedly beat and robbed innocent bystanders. Several were injured, including one man who was reportedly hospitalized for a fractured skull. Same day, police said a group of all-black teens beat a man in the street in Philly's Old City section. Three juvies were arrested Wednesday in connection to the attack. Officer Tanya Little of the Philly Police Department told FoxNews.com. Several such attacks are also being investigated in cities like L.A., Chicago, Cleveland, Washington, D.C., and Milwaukee, where 30 people were arrested after alleged mob attacks erupted at the Wisconsin State Fair on August 4. At least 18 people were injured, including seven police officers. Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn called the attacks reprehensible. Some fairgoers said that it appeared bystanders were targeted because of their race. It looked like they were just going after white guys, white people, he told Wisconsin's news radio. But while some witness accounts suggest the attacks are race-based, so-called law enforcement officials say they have no evidence to prove it. Philadelphia Police Department First Deputy Commissioner Richard Ross said there was no confession or anything else to suggest the July 29th attacks in Philly were racially motivated. He said you can't just simply look at the race of the offender and the race of the victim and say it's ethnic intimidation. It may be, but we're not sure. Does it give us pause? Yes, it does, said Ross. Now, of course, if it was a white mob beating up blacks, God forbid, there would be no question that Attorney General, whatever his name is, and President whoever would be giving a speech from the bully pulpit. But according to the police chief, without a confession, a witness account, or some epithet overheard by the victim, no charges will be filed related to ethnic intimidation or a hate crime, said the so-called police chief. He said, if we don't know and can't prove it, we can't charge it. It's just a very difficult charge to prove. We're in the business of what we can prove, not what we think. That is, unless, of course, it's whites accused of a racial crime by ethnic minorities. Authorities in Wisconsin, meanwhile, say they're investigating 11 new allegations of race-based assaults near the state fairgrounds in which the alleged perpetrators were all African-American and the victims were either white or Hispanic. West Dallas Police Chief Mike Jungbluth said the victims, who ranged in age from young all the way up to adults, suffered broken bones in the alleged attacks. They were targeting anyone who was white or appeared to look white. We are actively looking at violations of hate crime statutes in Wisconsin, Jungbluth told FoxNews.com, adding that the alleged attacks were, quote, an outrageous occurrence at an event that is truly designed to be about the family. So we have these flash mob attacks in America, not quite on the scale of England, comma, yet, period. But then again, with a little help from some of the demagogues in the Democrat Socialist parties of America, who knows what tomorrow might bring? Who knows what tomorrow might bring? Questions arise over whether flash mob attacks in U.S. cities are motivated by race. Maybe they can investigate it for a few years and a few more people get killed or have their heads broken in before the geniuses say there's no race involved at all. Because as you well know, there can be no hate crime except from a white man towards someone else. That's the way the laws are, upside down and backwards, as you well know. Incidentally, this is something interesting. I saw an article this week. Nobody seems to know this but me. I'm the only one in America who caught this, but pay very careful attention to this. The governor of the state of California did something actually very good. They tried to insert homelessness into a bill that would have made the homeless protected by hate crimes laws, and he vetoed it. Jerry Brown wisely said, there are enough civil rights protections in the state of California, we don't need another one, meaning sexual orientation, ethnic orientation, religion, all of those are protected by hate crimes laws, right? But he didn't want to add homeless to it because it means if a homeless guy pukes on your shoes or pushes you around and you sock him in the nose, you could go to jail for a hate crime. So he figured it out, like, don't do it, right? We know that the violence amongst the homeless is underreported. We know that. But here's what I found. Did you know that political orientation is a protected class in the state of California? Do you know that I, Michael Savage, am protected under hate crime laws in this state? I didn't even know until I read that article. That's right. So if someone came up to me, for example, and started an argument with me, and I walked away from them, and they've pursued me and pushed me, I could sue them under hate crime laws. It happened to me once in my entire life. Some bum who worked for the San Francisco paper, some old drunk. They were all drunks in the old days of the Chronicle. The paper's now losing $1 million a week. But some old drunk, I was in a restaurant in North Beach enjoying some food with a friend, and he came up and blah, 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 an older white guy, and he said something very insulting to me. You know what I did? I got up and left. Because I cannot win as a public figure. I cannot win in any tussle or in any public kind of situation of that nature. I got up with my friend and we walked out. That's what I did. Because I don't win. I can't win. Do you understand that? But now that I found out that I'm actually a protected class along the lines of all the other protected classes, I can't even remember, transgendered, mendendered, fedendered, bendefender, offender, there's so many classes of protected citizens in California. Little did I know that political orientation is now a protected class. So I researched it, and take a guess why the geniuses in Sacramento added political orientation to a protected class. Because after the shooting of Giffords in Arizona, they wanted to make sure that anyone who assaulted them, rightly so, would get an extra penalty. So as a result now, I, as a talk show host with very strong politically conservative views, I am now a protected class, I am proud to tell you. Which doesn't mean I'm going to walk around with a chip on my shoulder, because I never do. Never. You ask anyone who knows me. After work, no one even knows who I am. I'm invisible. I'm invisible. And I only go to a few places because people generally don't bother me in those places. But nevertheless, I want you to know that if you're in a political profession of any kind in California, as a journalist, certainly a politician, journalist, talk show host, you're now a protected class. If you're listening to this show, you just learned something. And you can say you learned it from Michael Savage. I'll be right back. Savage.
And why don't you work on extending your English vocabulary? Extend your English vocabulary beyond a few curse words that you know, some other grunts and grumbles, and other things that none of us can understand what you're saying.
Resist, we much, we must, and we will much about that be committed.
God, unbelievable. Unbelievable how prescient Philadelphia Mayor Mike Nutter was. I mean, he could have been talking about MSNBC and what they become. Boston, what an affiliate I have in Boston. I mean, magical names like WOR in New York, WRKO, which is not to say my other 300 and some odd affiliates aren't important to me. But, hey, I grew up on radio. The Green Hornet, later my father's lap listening to the radio, the Green Hornet. I listened to radio. I'm one of the few talk show hosts, maybe the only one left in America. I think I am the only one who actually grew up on radio. Would you believe it? I mean, think about that. I didn't grow up on television. I grew up in the pre-television era listening to radio, which means I have the most natural ear in the business. I have the best ear in the radio business. Everybody knows that. I actually hear people, and I respond to people in a more natural way. No, you don't have to play the Green Hornet. Brian in Boston, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I'm one of those four-fifths human beings that grew up in Ireland, specifically the north of Ireland, Belfast, during the 40-year war against the tyranny of Britain.
Yes.
I'm kind of happy tonight. I'm happy that America can see what lies ahead of them if they go down the socialist path that has wrecked not only the British Isles, but also Europe.
It has, Brian. Now, Brian, didn't the wonderful Brits, the humane, wonderful Brits, use plastic bullets and water cannon on the Irish?
They used a lot more than that, Michael. I grew up in the north of Ireland with a helicopter 24 hours a day hovering over my home. My younger brother was tortured with cigarette butts to his testicles.
Oh, jeez.
There were thousands upon thousands of young men who were arrested on Operation Motorman and imprisoned in a concentration camp called Long Kesh in the north of Ireland at the hands of the tyranny of the British Empire.
Look, I'm an amateur student of history. I know about the black and tan gangs that tortured your people as well. But what amazes me is that the very English who will use guns, who did use guns and water cannons and bullets on, even plastic bullets, on your people won't use them against these vermin in the streets of England.
Because they don't consider us part of the British Empire.
Well, that's right, and you're four-fifths human to them, right, Brian?
There are two issues, Michael. One is...
So if the Irish are four-fifths human to the British, and I'm not even allowed in England, you're at least allowed to go to London, so I'm not even 50% human, right?
Yeah, I believe that it's a travesty of justice. It's a violation of basic human rights that you have been refused entry into the British Empire.
Well, Brian, I swear to God, I swear to my audience and everyone listening to the show, Irish and non-Irish alike, that God willing, when I get total, control over my life and over my everything else, my health and this and that, I intend to go to Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, which is not part of the United Kingdom. I intend to invite 1,000 or 2,000 of my listeners from around America, and I hope the Irish will join me. I intend to go to the border with England with as many bullhorns as we can get and tell them what we think of them.
Can I say something?
Please.
The people in the north of Ireland are just as Irish as the people in the south. They are still fighting for their freedom because they're still under British rule. And most people don't understand.
Yeah, and we don't hear much about that, though, anymore, do we? What is the situation over there? What actually is going on?
As the last 40... So I left Ireland in 1977. I was a teacher in the Catholic school system, and there was no future, as there was no future for so many of my friends because there was perpetual unemployment benefits. The British government had a socialist government under the Labour Party, had it instituted back in the 60s all the way through to the present day. That's the reason why you're having the riots in England at the present moment, because what they have done to the British people, not only in England, Scotland, Wales, and the north of Ireland, it is now part and parcel of what is a common practice in the south of Ireland. It's become totally socialized.
And what in other words, they basically made a dependent class of people who have nothing to live for and no respect for the nation that they live in. You're an educated man, Brian. I remember seeing a film many years ago, I think is The Wind That Moves, what is it, The Wind That Moves, the one about the black and tans, how they brutalized the Irish. You know that film?
The Wind That Shook the Barley, yes.
Is that a factually accurate film?
As best as can be. A better one would be with Liam Neeson in the freedom fighter who established the south of Ireland.
And what was that movie? I love Liam Neeson. He's a great actor. I've never seen him in a bad film.
You got me. I'm
I don't really know, but I saw a few good ones that came out about 10 years ago about the Irish fleeing and hiding in New York. Pretty well done. Damn well done. There was another Irish actor who did a great job whose name escapes me. Look, but Brian, this is a tragic situation when you see an entire nation brought to its knees by rabble in the gutter, and the police are told to stand down and do nothing, and you hear the straw man, Cameron, getting up there saying, "We will not tolerate it." You can almost laugh at the guy for what he's saying. But my comment, as acid as it was, is unfortunately true, which is that they will not use water cannon or plastic bullets on these vermin. They reserve that for the Irish, who they considered only four-fifths human. And I stand by those words, Brian. I know those resonated with you, which is why you called the show, I'm sure.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes, sir.
Growing up in the north of Ireland under British rule and watching, going through university, being a beneficiary of free education, watching what the Brits were doing to their people, their own people, the Socialist Labour Party of Britain. Just a forewarning to Americans. What the Socialist Party in Britain did during the 60s, they put out white papers from 10 Downing Street alerting the British people to the fact that there were not going to be a lot of jobs available, that we were going to go down to a 3 or 4 day work week. And because of that, they were building recreation centers all over the British Isles, which they did because they knew that the policies that they were going to put in place were going to necessitate that people were not going to be able to have a job. So therefore, they realized that all these people were going to be lying idle. They had to have somewhere for them to go, otherwise they were going to be a problem.
Well, that's the equivalent of the Democrats building night basketball centers here in America, knowing that the youth are uneducated, incapable of anything but playing basketball and trading in drugs in the basketball centers. Brian, it's a sad day. It is absolutely a sad day. This is nothing to celebrate. I understand the sarcasm in the statement that you made, that you're glad that the world can see the Brits for what they are. But at the end of the day, who really likes to see a civilization crumbling as we are watching this? It is watching a civilization crumble from within because of weakness. Adrian in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Sure, Dr. Savage. It's an honor talking to you, sir.
Yes.
I wanted to just, something you just said reminded me of my own upbringing, you know, growing up and listening to the radio. And I grew up in Eastern Europe, and the only truth that was present to us was Radio Free Europe and Voice of America. And you've sort of become like Radio Free Europe and Voice of America here for us, sir, because most of the stuff that's fed to us via mass media is just, you kind of have to read between the lines to really understand what's going on.
Adrian, I say the same thing every day, and if they did an honest job, even a 50% honest job, I wouldn't have a living. You think about that. If the newspapers even did a 50% honest job in portraying events as they actually are, instead of twisting everything around the socialist flagpole, a man like me would not have had a living that I've had like this for the last 16, 17 years with so many books and whatnot, because the people are thirsting for the truth. You know, there's a saying in America, build a better mousetrap and people will beat a path to your door. Another writer wrote it a different way, which is that if you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite. I'm not comparing my audience to fish, nor am I saying that anyone listening to the show is a mouse coming into the trap. But, you know, truth has a certain ring to it. And I have no gimmicks that I can use here. I have no legs to flash. I have no lipstick, no makeup, no lights, no loud noises that go off and on every minute to train you like a lab rat. Like, I love Fox News. Every minute, Fox alert with a sound. Fox News alert, Fox News alert. What does it mean? At this point, it's like you're sensitized to it. It means nothing. It worked in the beginning with the flashing and then the thing. How long can a leprechaun pull this off? He looks like as tired as Obama does. You look at the leprechaun. If you notice that the leprechaun looks as tired as Obama, it's amazing to me. It's caught up with him. The Blarney is caught up with him. How much Blarney can you feed people till eventually you start to choke on your own diet of Blarney? But whatever. It's a big world. There's room for everybody, as I said many years ago. I mean, I'd like to believe that only one talk show could exist 24 hours a day, but it doesn't work that way. No, it's only a few hours a day that we get up to here. We get a show out to you, you know, a short dance in the sun, as they say, which is still one of the greatest poetry lines. Many years ago in San Francisco, there's lots of poets, fake ones mainly, but there were a few good ones. Some of the good ones you never heard of. The bad ones you heard too much of. But this guy was an old Irish guy, and I'll never forget 25 years ago, went out to his house way out in the Richmond District. I think he's dead now. I didn't keep up with him. We used to drink together in one of the Irish bars. I occasionally, I forget even the name of the bars, honest to God. Those days, I don't do it anymore. I don't need to go to a bar to drink. But anyway, the point is, he wrote a little book called A Short Dance in the Sun that stuck with me because it said everything there had to be about life right there. That's all we have. That's all we have. All of you listening to me, everyone listening to the show, Think about this one. We'll all be dead within 100 years. So we all share something. We share a journey through time. We are passing through the universe at the same time together. And all we have is a short dance in the sun. And this country, has it seen its better moments? Has it been through its apogee, or are we now seeing its perigee? We don't know. We don't know, but we know that democracies don't last too long, do they? They too have a short dance in the sun.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Another 500-point drop of the Dow Jones. I mean, I'm not celebrating this. It tumbled 520 points, or 4.6%, to 10,720. The S&P 500 slid 551 points, or 4.4%, to 1121. And the NASDAQ composite dipped 101 points. Gold jumped to $1,784 a troy ounce, almost $1,800 an ounce. Listen, this is a terrible situation. Bank of America Corp. lost another 10% to $6.70. Goldman Sachs slid more than 10% to $110. You can celebrate this if you wanted the street rabble. But truthfully, this is not good news for anybody living anywhere in the Western world. The rabble is in the streets. The rabble at the top are robbing us blind. Never before in history that I know of, in our history, have we seen the middle class being squeezed so tightly, both from those at the top who are robbing us blind. And when I say those at the top, I mean companies that are paying no income tax, such as General Electric, okay? And I mean those on the bottom who are paying no taxes, which is almost 50% of the population. It's the middle class being attacked, and it's on purpose. Why? Retrickle up poverty. I told you, the communist doctrine is to eliminate or squeeze the middle class till it almost doesn't exist. You don't understand this yet, but you will. Gold almost $1,800. Actually, it's above $1,800 now. Federal deficit tops $1 trillion for the third straight year. Moody's is now warning states and local governments. Rioting is spreading across England owing to the liberal dogma which spawned a generation of amoral, uneducated, welfare-dependent, brutalized youngsters. Looters as young as 9 years old are running wild. Why? Because the police are not entitled to shoot to kill. They won't even use plastic bullets or water. They reserve those for the Irish, who the English consider only four-fifths human. It's sickening. Three killed protecting their homes in England. Did you hear that one? Three killed protecting their homes in England from looters. This is what's going on in merry old England. Three people killed doing the job of the police during widespread looting. It's terrible. Amateur boxer Haroon Jahan and two brothers were hit by a speeding car in Birmingham in the early hours of the morning, and they were trying to protect their house. You know, want to look into this, by the way, from a racial point of view. The Muslims are actually business owners, most of them, and they're not involved in most of the looting, incidentally. Did you know that? The Muslim business people are protecting their property. Do you understand what's going on? The yobs on the street are largely not Muslim. I don't think you understand this. This is something that's not even been discussed by anybody in the media yet, because they don't even understand what's going on. I do. I understand it very well. 1-800-449-8255, Savage Nation. Terrible things going on around the world. Dow down more than 500 points. Goodness, what else is in the news? Let's see. The news is so horrible. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to tell you. Mobster pleads guilty to $50,000 yeshiva heist. That's a small one. Colombo crime family associate, that's almost a hard one to say, Colombo crime family, who worked at a Brooklyn celebrity pizzeria, pled guilty to robbing his yeshiva of more than $50,000. Dominic Black Dom Dionisio was employed until recently at Lucali, the Carroll Gardens eatery, blah, 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 blah. So you see the days of the wise guys being noble, if it ever was true, if it was ever true, it's about as true as saying England is the safest country on earth. You know what I'm saying? Play this.
The gall of them to say that all of this ought to come from cuts that fall most heavily on the seniors, on middle class people, people who aspire to the middle class. This is not the America that most people want to see. I'm going to introduce a bill that, you know, if you want to create jobs, create them. And my legislation would actually hire, make sure that we can hire over 2 million people at a very reasonable price, all paid for by taxing the wealthiest, the millionaires and billionaires, and put them to work doing things that need to be done.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to AmericaIsRising.com. 800-255-4199, AmericaIsRising.com. 1-800-449-8255, MichaelSavage.com. How'd they take money from the yeshiva? I got to look into this. I don't know. How could they steal from a yeshiva? Oh, stole cash and checks worth more than $50,000. He waited an employee of the Magen David Yeshiva on McDonald Avenue. All right, a plain old stick-up. What else is in the news? Well, again, go back to MichaelSavage.com. It's the stories that I found worth attracting your attention. 73% of Americans say the U.S. is on the wrong track. And that's according to Reuters, no less. Police were ordered to stand and observe as London burned. Do you hear this? The police were frustrated as they were told to watch as the looters went wild in London. After all, you only want to attack Michael Savage and people like that who can't defend themselves. Fallen off Olympus, Obama stammers. See the Charles Hurd article on Michael Savage. Oh, Obama marks Ramadan with iftar dinner. He's celebrating the Muslim holy month of Ramadan by taking off his shoes and getting on his hands and knees. U.S. government is saying that the military killed the Taliban or downed the U.S. chopper. Should I believe that? I believe it as much as saying Obama loves America. Wisconsin GOP survives recall. They kept four of the six seats in a recall election, even though the vermin on MSNBC was celebrating their overturn, saying this is a message to America. Astounding! Push for Bert and Ernie to have a gay wedding on Sesame Street. You hear? Bert and Ernie are supposed to have a gay wedding on Sesame Street. I never let my children watch Sesame Street. We put a black curtain over the TV when they came on. We always knew what it was. We knew it was pure, unadulterated brainwashing. That's why my children are worth something. 3 gallons of date rape drugs ingredient from China seized at L.A. airport. You hear this? The basic ingredient to make the date rape drug, 3 gallons of the ingredient for it coming in from China. I guess you could call it from China with love. From China with love. All this and more on the Savage Nation today.
Savage.
Analyze what happened to the West. Why is the West in decline while Asia is on the rise? The answer to me has a manifest number of answers to it. But one rather appealing concept that may be my own is that the best and the brightest were lost in World War II. Let's look at Britain, which is a smaller nation. In Britain, it's a little different than in the United States. It was an honor to serve in the military in Britain. And any man who ducked the duty to serve in World War II was ostracized in England. And so they took the best and the brightest. Many of them joined the RAF if they could fly, and they flew and died in many missions, notably in the Battle of Britain, saving their country from the Luftwaffe, which was trying to destroy the British Air Force and couldn't do it. They hung on to the last second, largely because they had the Spitfire, but also because they had a leader worthy of the name named Winston Churchill, who Obama, of course, spit upon. The first thing Obama did when he took over the Oval Office was trash it by removing the bust of Winston Churchill. We're surprised he didn't put in a bust of Joseph Stalin, but he's not yet through. It's only, you know, it's early. So you take the best and the brightest, and they didn't reproduce. They died in combat. They never married. They never had children. And what you have instead is Gordon Brown and Cameron running England. Take a look at them. Take a look at who was running England. Gordon Brown. Go before him, the other one. What was his name? Alastair Cook's illegitimate grandson, he looked like to me. Blair. You had Tony Blair, another prize weakling. Then you had Gordon Brown, the next weakling, traitor Quisling. And now you have this other fake conservative, Cameron, running England. Now, are they likely the descendants of men who fought in, say, Britain? Or maybe they are. Maybe they are, but metaphorically, you understand what I'm talking about. So the West, in other words, lost their best and their brightest in World War II, who gave their life for their country, and consequently, we are now in decline. That's one of the reasons. There are other reasons. That's one idea that I have. And I guess I'm just trying to share with you my pain today when I see the kind of thing that we have has happened to this country, that we can have such a brilliant communist in the White House who gets away with virtually anything, and there's not a peep goes out across the land virtually. Not a peep. Not a peep, but I say you got what you deserve. The American people got what they deserve by putting this man in the White House. In the midst of all of this madness, you do have to find your corners of sanity and peace. For me, it's water. I've always loved going out on the water, and I go out on my boat. So yesterday, it was windy all weekend, and I didn't think I'd get out because I don't really want to get a merit badge in stormy weather. You know what I'm saying? You got 16 states in heat, and here in California, Northern California, we're blessed. It's like 56, 57 degrees at night. You know, hits high 60s, maybe low 70s. We've just been enjoying phenomenally great weather after the heat wave of like early last week. Fog, cool, you need a coat. The way I love it, right? So I don't go anywhere for that reason. What's the point of going anywhere? But I wanted to go out in the boat, but I don't want to go out in a 25, 30 knot wind. I'm really not in the mood for the merit badge in, you know, as I say, in stormy weather. So I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. So the weather breaks a little bit. So I call up my friend Mike, who's like he's a captain. He delivers boats. Great guy. And Mike, you want to go out? All right, I just delivered a boat. I'll come down in an hour, because I didn't want to go out in even the mild wind alone. I can handle my 40-ton boat alone in decent weather, calm weather, and I do. But on a windy day, I really didn't want to come back with Teddy. I'm alone with Teddy. To try to dock with a poodle running around back and forth, he always thinks he's docking the boat with me. I mean, it's really funny to watch. The guy loves to hear the kid, the dog, a kid, guy. I don't know what he is anymore. It's like I'm a human being to me at this point. I'm going batty altogether. He's so attached to me. I'm so attached to the dog. I don't know whether he's a person or an animal, or I'm an animal or a dog half the time, or a person. We're like one in the same. We're bonded. So when I pull into a dock and I have to jump off the boat, he jumps too, and he tries to grab the lines and tie them up for me with his mouth. It's very cute, but very dangerous at the same time, because you got 40 tons of fiberglass, steel, stainless steel, teak, gasoline, diesel fuel, rather, you know, and oil and all sorts of things. You don't really want to be worried about a dog getting squashed between you and the dock. So I figured, all right, Michael, go out with me. So we go out. And it was absolutely incredible. And I was, again, one with nature. Just a small 10-knot, 12-knot run down the bay. I like to watch the water, or the movement of the water. I like to look at the landforms, which are amazing. You know what we have here in Northern California? We have an amazing geography in that you have pine-studded mountains that drop drastically right into the bay. And then you have 70 feet of water right offshore, 15 feet offshore, 10 feet offshore, you could be in 70 feet of water, because fundamentally the entire Bay Area is on mountaintops, which, of course, if you're into geology as I am and botany as I am, you realize that we're here as visitors on we're visitors on this planet for a very, very brief interval, not only geologically a very brief interval, but of course, in terms of our own life cycle. But you take a look at this, a bay like this, or wherever you may be, you look around, you see all this landform, you're on mountaintops. And look at what we, the ants, have accomplished in such a short period of time geologically as we have inhabited these mountaintops. I said to myself as we continued the boat through downtown Sausalito. Now, I want to go to nature for a minute. I'm a little all over the map because that's a better way to talk than it is in a straight logical fashion. Believe me, I could do the Aristotelian logic, mathematical, straight down the line, and not bat an eyelash because my mind is like a steel trap when I need it to be. But talk radio does not have to be Aristotelian, nor does it have to be two-dimensional or one-dimensional for me to make my point. Sometimes it could be four-dimensional or five-dimensional. And sometimes it could be any way I want it to be. So let me go now to another subject that's somewhat related. As you know, I'm a naturalist, and I enjoy watching nature. It gives me some of the calm I have, whether it be my dog, who gives me great calm. He's my best friend, obviously. I think he's a little sick from something. He's listless lately. I don't think it's serious, but he's not feeling well. Maybe it's because I'm not feeling well. And they pick up what you're feeling because they're mimics. At the end of the day, they're the greatest mimics on Earth. And we all know that. You eat, they eat. You go to the bathroom, they want to sit next to you. You go in a shower, they want to shower. You're happy, they're happy. You're talking to someone you like, they smile. You're upset and screaming and yelling, they get frightened and run away. So they're wonderful. We love them for that. And we know that. That's why we love our little friends, our little furry angels, I call them. So I observe animals, and one of the I like to watch birds lately. I've been getting more and more into bird life. I don't know what it is. And I have a house in the country up on a hill, and I've been watching for weeks now a peregrine falcon. At least I believe she's a peregrine falcon. Let's say for a moment it is. I don't know. I'm not an ornithologist. And she is protecting her nest from hawks, from predatory birds, other predatory birds who will keep circling her, trying to pick off an egg. Or maybe she has little birds in a nest, and she watches them like a hawk. She's in the hawk family. She circles and she swoops and she'll take on birds three times her size because those are her babies and her instincts kick in. And every day I come out with my binoculars and I stand up on the hill and I root for her. And I say, thank God she's there. Sometimes I'm afraid to look because I'm afraid she's going to be gone. And the other birds wore her out or killed her. And they killed her eggs and took it away. I mean, it's like a Disney movie to me, but much more deep than that. It's very survival of the fittest. And today I come up and there she is. She's up and she's circling. And you see the blackbirds coming in trying to take her. And she swoops down on them. They're twice her size. And she chases them away. And I say to myself, in addition to fighting off the predators who are trying to steal the eggs or her babies themselves, she has to go out and feed herself. Then she has to get food for her babies. And all of that is done. And that's how species survive. It's astounding to me. And then I see two welfare mothers on a subway car in New York, as fat as a house, fighting over a seat. And one of them forgets she has a baby in a stroller, her meal ticket, and the baby stroller rolls off the subway car out on the platform. Thank God the train was in the station. And they're pulling each other's hair out. And I say to myself that the human being is below that of an animal.
Savage.
Andrew Klavan is a writer for City Journal, as well as a best-selling fiction author who recently wrote a stunning article on why the debt crisis highlights the failures of the left. He joins us now to speak with me about this. Andrew Klavan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, it's great to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Okay, explain how you see it when you say that leftism has utterly failed. I mean, we all know this.
Well, look around you, you know. I mean, the riots in Europe, the debt crisis here, the 9/11, which was the end of the multicultural relativist idea, where we learned that yes, there is evil, and yes, some cultures are worse than others. Every idea that they have put forward, basically since the summer of love, not just recently, but for the last 40 and 50 years, has gone down the drain, has led us to stagnation, debt, despair, and into war, in fact. You know, they blame Bush for the war, but he's not to blame. It was this kind of idea that all cultures should be treated the same. And so I think that, you know, it's just a question of practicality besides morality. I mean, I think leftism is an immoral system, but it also doesn't work.
But the question is, has the left ever done anything right?
Yes, they do one thing right. They sometimes point to problems that need to be fixed. And conservatives have a habit too often of letting those problems fester. The problem is, however, that every time the left points to a problem, they think the answer is more and more government, more and more control of your life, more and more spending, less and less freedom. So what I would like to see is I'd like to see conservatives respond quicker to problems with free market solutions.
Now, you lived in London for 7 years, so what are your thoughts on what's been going on in London for the past few days, the riots?
It's a nightmare. My son is over there. He was chased down the street by a bunch of thugs. And it's basically the welfare state comes back to bite you. These people aren't rioting for a cause. They're not rioting for political reasons. When they were asked, when you ask them on the street, they say they're rioting to get, some luxury items out of stores. This is an entitlement society, a society that tells you that, you'll be paid for from cradle to grave, that takes care of you, that limits your actions. And it also, on top of everything else, nobody is allowed to own a gun or even defend yourself in London. I mean, Americans have no clue. They do not know about the way the London police will arrest you for defending yourself. A man breaks into your house. If you were to kill him, you would go to jail. So you don't have what you had in L.A. when there were riots, and you had these, Korean shopkeepers coming out with AK-47s to defend themselves. That'll take care of a riot real fast. Instead, you've got the police themselves discussing whether you use plastic bullets, of all things.
Do you fear we'll see anything like what we saw in London in the U.S.?
Boy, oh boy, it's not unthinkable in the least. I mean, we saw even in Wisconsin how quickly people whose entitlements are threatened will get rough and violent and foul-mouthed. When you give people goodies and they get things for what they think is for free but are really being paid for by other people, people other than themselves, they get addicted to that. They think they are entitled to it. They're not grateful for it. And when you take it away, they immediately react with violence. The problem with the state supplying you with things is when the state can't afford it anymore and you run out of other people's money, there's no recourse but violence. There's no recourse because the money just isn't there. And there's this kind of imaginary idea that somehow your violence will make this money appear. If the rich money bag guy down the street would just open his wallet, if we could just steal a little bit more of his money, then my goodies won't go away. So yes, I think we're definitely, there's definitely a threat of that happening here, and we're just going to have to find out if we're still Americans, if we're still willing to say to this state, stop giving us stuff, let us be free, leave us alone.
What's with the media's obsession with President Obama?
Well, he was a kind of an empty vessel, and he said this himself, that he was an empty vessel into which the media poured their imagination of what a left-wing candidate would be. You know, I mean, he was black, as Joe Biden said. He was, what did he call him, clean and articulate or something like that. He spoke in these windy phrases that meant absolutely nothing, that had no bearing on the reality of how programs work. He talks about things like balance and compromise, but he really governs entirely from the left. And so they went into orgasmic, raptures over this guy, some of which, when you go back and look at them, are downright embarrassing. I mean, they're really like listening to a 12-year-old girl talk about Justin Bieber. And I think that, in fact, who is this guy? He's kind of a deer caught in the headlights. He's a guy who's got a feedback loop between a mistaken ideology and inexperience. You know, when he tries his ideology and it fails, as it always does, he hasn't got the experience to modify it, to change his path, and he just returns to his ideology. So he's in this echo chamber that creates an effect of stupidity. I don't think he's a stupid man, but I think he acts stupidly. And he's just made an absolute laughingstock of the rapturous press that lifted him to such heights.
Of course, the left blames the Tea Party for the credit downgrade. That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, in a sense, from their point of view, if you want to look at from their point of view, it's the Tea Party's fault. And I'll explain what I mean. We've reached the Obama administration and the Pelosi-Reid Congress that dominated for 2 years have pressed us so far to the edge of the precipice of default and bankruptcy that we have to make a fundamental decision. How are we going to buy our way out of this? There are two choices, basically. One of them is to tax people more and more and allow the state to grow and grow and grow. And Obama, for all his talk about balance and compromise, that's his program. It's higher taxes, bigger government, what he calls investment, which just means spending more and more. The other side of this is the Tea Party side that says, no, you cut the tentacles off the octopus of the government, you know, cut the spending, cut the entitlements, and tax us less and let us be more free so that our economy can grow and start to pay off this debt through even lower taxes. So you have to choose which one of these you're going to do. From the Democratic side that only wants more and more government, more and more control over your life, sure, the Tea Party's at fault. You know, they're at fault because they don't want to pay for their vision, you know. And instead of just saying, well, we differ, we disagree, they have done everything they can to brand the Tea Party. Ordinary Americans, good people out there fighting for the Constitution, fighting for lower spending, they've branded them racist, hateful, rage-filled, insane, everything they can think of. And now they're blaming them for the fact that we, the people, do not want to pay for their party over in Washington.
Andrew, do you think we're going to get through this mess that we're in? Or are we beginning to see the beginning of the end of the United States as we know it? Can it still be saved after Obama goes back to posting billboards in Chicago?
You know, I am a congenital optimist. I mean, I really have a lot of faith in the hearts of the people. I have a lot of faith in the yearning for freedom. And I have a lot of faith in the electoral process. You know, in these moments of crisis, it's always easy to panic. It's always easy to look at the fires in London and the Dow dropping down and thinking, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. But America has come back before. We still have elections. We still can make choices. And I think we're going to start to make the right ones. The election, what happened in Wisconsin, where the GOP held on despite the massive spending by government unions, that gives me a lot of hope. The people are not what they were. They are not uneducated, they are not out of the loop, they're not going to be easily led by a voice on television or the internet or the radio. They're not going to be so easily led as they were in the 30s. The people now are educated, the information is flowing, all sides are getting a chance to speak. I think the country can be saved, I really do. I think the ship can be turned around.
Andrew, what's your latest writing project?
I've got my novel is called The Final Hour, and it's the last of a four-book series of adventure stories for young adults about a patriotic teenager who goes to sleep in his own bed one night and wakes up being attacked by Islamo-fascist terrorists being chased by the police as well, who think he's committed a murder, and he's been trying to find out what's going on. This brings the story to an action-packed conclusion, and I'm really proud of these books because, Michael, I think they may be unique in being a young adult story that actually deals with the war on terror and the threat of Islamo-fascist terrorism. And I think, that just makes them, I just think, more exciting and more real than a lot of the other books out there.
Andrew Klaben, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation. You're going to have competition from me come September when my fiction debut hits, Abuse of Power. Get ready, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, Michael. I hope you'll come by and visit me at andrewklaben.com and also at my Pajamas Media blog. I've been doing a lot of writing there.
I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Go mad, like chucking things, chucking bottles,
breaking into stuff.
It was good
breaking
though.
Into shot. It was madness.
Yeah, it was good though.
It was good fun.
Yeah,
of course it is.
Yeah.
So you're drinking a bottle of rosé wine
at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, free alcohol.
Have you been drinking all night?
Yeah. Like it's the government's fault. I don't know.
Conservatives.
Yeah, whatever who it is,
I don't
know.
It's not even a right, it's showing the police we can do what we want.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, showing the police we can do what we want, and now we have.
So do you reckon it will go on tonight?
Yeah, hopefully, definitely. Hopefully.
But these are like local people, I mean, why is it targeting local people and your own people?
It's the rich people. It's the rich people, the people that have got businesses, and that's why all of this has happened, because the rich people. So we're just showing the rich people that we can do what we want.
Hey, if you think that's bad, how about identity theft? What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now, 1-800-LOCK-485, and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call now.
I'm having a good time. I'm giddy. I'm up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, I had to consume. Here's what happens on a day like today with stress like today. The stress was so high from this, and I said, you know what, forget your diet. I swear to God, I'm up at 4:30. I watched dawn come up over the bay, and I stopped feeding the, I have to make an admission, I stopped feeding the seagulls that live near my house, old bagels. I'm getting afraid of them. It's like the birds, like with Hitchcock. They're like circling. I'm telling you, I don't feed them anymore because they attacked that pelican, and I'm mad at the seagulls. I told her I'm not feeding them anymore. They're very intelligent. They're like dogs, these seagulls. And the beaks are razor sharp. I don't have to tell you. They can break open a clam. Can you imagine what they could do to your head? They're circling my house like a Hitchcock movie now. I wake up at dawn, and there they are, the two of them. And they swoop down on the deck like black figures out of a horror movie. I have to come out with like a, with a rake in my hand because I won't feed them a bagel. They're psycho. They're psycho seagulls. Anyway, I chase off the seagulls, and I watch the black go to the gray. You know, dawn is beautiful. Dawn can be beautiful from a mountaintop high in the Andes. That's what got me into ethnobotany. That one line, I'll get distracted now because, do you know that that's what drove me into ethnobotany back in 1966, 7, 68? One line from a scientific paper. Dawn can be beautiful from a mountaintop high in the Andes, written by Richard Evans Schultes at the beginning of one of his ethnobotanical masterpieces. And I said to myself, wow, if there's a scientist who can write such poetry, I want to be in that science. That's what really drove me into all the years of searching for plants. Was the poetry involved. But, of course, he was one in a million. You know, no one ever followed him. Many, some try, but they don't even understand that there's poetry and science. As my, well, that's a whole separate story. My mind is, so I get up at 4:30, as I said, up, can't sleep, mind churning. You know, you wake up in the morning and you have to let the dog out already because dogs are like, you know, they're chameleons. If I get up, I try like holding going to the bathroom because I know once I set one foot out of the bed, I'm finished. He already has to go. The shadow already jumps off the bed and I'm finished. Because then once I have to get off the bed, I have to click on a light. Once I click on a light already, the iris opens up or closes down, whatever it closes down, right? It's open. It starts to, like the shutter closes down. So who could sleep already with the autonomic starts to operate? So I lay back in bed. I say, all right, I'm not going to get up now at 4:30. Dog's back in bed. I'm back in bed. So I blacken the curtains so I don't see sunrise. Every house I have, by the way, the first thing we do is we spend thousands of dollars on a double set of blackout curtains because I want to control my environment, right? I lay back again in bed. Can't sleep. It's impossible. Right here, the mind's clicking. You got to do this. The lawnmower is there. The car needs the washing. The guy's waxing the boat. Be sure to tell him the key, not to break the key. You know, the million things that are, you know, you're a slave. A Western man is a slave. And the more possessions you have, the more of a slave you are. Incidentally, that's true. But what's the option? To be the Dalai Lama with garlic breath? I mean, I really don't want to go there with the robes and start to hit up on old blonde ladies for money. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather have the possessions than the problems. So, all right, I lay down 30 minutes. I can't take it. 30 seconds, I'm back out of bed. Now I'm up and I'm starving. A quarter to five, I am starving. And I have to eat breakfast. So I said, wait, this is a heavy-duty day. I'm stressed out. So I made eggs. I know it's like, oh, wow, you eat an egg? Yeah, eggs. They're hippie eggs, though. What I mean is like omega-3 eggs. The chicken was raised by people with PhDs in compassion. They're not in cages. They get to peck around. They have children for a while before they're slaughtered. You know, they're happy chickens, and the feed has omega-3 in them. The egg is a wonderful food, by the way. The lecithin in the food, don't be fooled. Don't, you know, you're probably on a no-egg diet. Most of you get up. You know, most men, I see them, they're starving to death. You know what they're eating? Like oatmeal. They're eating oatmeal and a raisin, and they think that they're going to live forever. They're still dropping dead like flies. Now, the fact is it's true that the rate of coronary heart disease has gone down since I started writing my books on how to eat. But how is it now that I'm going back to what I told you not to eat? That's the funny part. I have two eggs, but to counter it, the right side of my shoulder says, eat the eggs. It's good for you. You eat it. Don't care what it's like. It doesn't matter. You're starving. You have a big day ahead of you. Feed your brain. On the left shoulder, the angel says, but you can't have the sausage with it. You may not get that chicken apple sausage. You'll poison your arterial tree. Get out the broccoli. So I fried broccoli with it, with olive oil and some tomatoes. So I decided to fry some tomatoes in the frying pan, which I love. I knock a breakfast off. It's 4:45, and I'm starving again at 11:30 in the morning. So I eat a terrible lunch, two Chinese lunches, beef and broccoli from a horrible chain restaurant. I won't even mention it. But I'm stuck in the suburbs when I'm not in the city, and the food is horrendous. Beef and broccoli, no matter what you tell them, no sugar, low oil. It comes in saturated dripping like with maple syrup on it. You can't. It's horrible. And here I am now on the radio, never feeling better. So I'm talking about survival of the fittest and how it works, whether on a microbial level or on a macro level, international level, galactic level, right? And as God is my witness, you just have to take it for what it is. I leave the studio. I drive home. I go and sit on the back of a deck, which is right on San Francisco Bay in a little house I own. I didn't even have an adult beverage. I had a bad headache. I didn't even want to drink, okay? You never drink when you have a headache. Never drink when you're depressed. Never. Did you know that? Did your father teach you that? When you're down, don't drink? No drink, nothing. I'm sitting there. What do I see? I see a pelican out in the bay, maybe 100 yards off from my house. And I see like 3-4 seagulls trying to, like, I thought steal a fish out of its mouth. And every few seconds, they swoop down, the gulls, and she snaps her big beak, and they fly off. Then the pelicans attacked again by 3 or 4 gulls who were swooping in like fighter planes on her. And she's just sitting in the water, and I'm saying, wow, they're trying to steal a fish right out of her mouth. This is right off the show. Where I'm telling you, it's like America's having the fish stolen out of its mouth. I get off the air, and there it's going on, and nature's talking to me again because I have a relationship with nature. But I misread nature. It wasn't that the pelican was fishing and they were trying to steal a fish out of her mouth. It was far more diabolical. She was a sick pelican, and they were trying to kill her in order to eat her while she was alive. So listen to this. The poor old pelican starts to slowly paddle towards me while fending off the gulls trying to kill her. And I swear to God, she comes right up to next to my house. She seeks shelter as though she knows I'm going to be her shepherd. And I'm fending off the gulls with a rake, and I'm trying to get them away. Normally I feed them old bread and old bagels, and they won't go away, but they got scared. And finally she stays there, and she looks up at me, and I look in her eye, and I start talking to her like she's my dog, and I'm calling her Teddy, figuring I could communicate with animals, and she doesn't go away. I throw a little bread to her. She won't eat it because I don't think they eat bread, or she was so sick she couldn't eat it all. Meanwhile, I got a good look at her, and either she was a juvenile or whatever, and I'm telling you the truth, within a few 20 minutes later, she started to paddle out again, and again they attacked her. I don't know whether they got her or she went to pelican heaven.
Savage.